خالص
مركز الصحابة Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
Yes, 7:36 Central African Time. As I said earlier on, that we'll be talking to Ahmadi Fakhruddin, Hafiz Ahmadi Fakhruddin, and Alhamdulillah, who's highlighting a pioneer family of Durban, Alhamdulillah, who contributed so much to the demographics of that area when it's predominantly an Indian area, and also, you know, entertaining the sailors from the oceans, from the different parts of the world coming to their house, and working closely with Paipadia Rahimullah, and you know, even Umarji, Hafiz Umarji, the whole family used to be together. And this is a powerful family that still, Alhamdulillah, serves the deen with the distinction. Hafiz Ahmadi Fakhruddin, I know you were having a breakfast this morning, and we tried to get hold of you. You went on voicemail. You know, it seems like you just finished eating now, Ahmadi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning to you, brother Shafat. Yes, I just had a quick coffee just to wake myself up so I could be alert for your interview. But I'd like to say jazakumullah and thank you for inviting me on your show.
Yeah, you're most welcome, Ahmadi. The entire world is listening to you. And you know, you've got your late Sayyid Fakhruddin, that's your great-grandfather, and we also have the late Sayyid Ibrahim Fakhruddin, also known as Sayyid Saab, and later we have the late Dr. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Fakhruddin, all making an indelible impression in the tapestry of history of Durban, and especially you know, concerning the Muslim community. You know, Ahmadi, we are all ears. Bismillah.
Okay. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Brother Shafat, I've actually chosen these three. We call them the shining lights in our family because they have actually set the foundation for the rest of the family to continue in their vein. So I've done as much research as I can, and inshallah, in this short period of time, I'm just going to touch on these three personalities, and inshallah, we have more knowledge on that. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just a brief history on Haji Sayyid Fakhruddin and how our family had initially come to South Africa. So, to actually cover the life of a man who lived to the ripe old age of 112 years old in a short space of 10 minutes, it's a mammoth task, but inshallah, I will do my best. So it started off where I would say it's best told as a story, and the story is pieced together by factual research done by myself and interaction with members of various family, namely the Sufi family, and also his last two remaining daughters. She's late now, late Zubaydah Fakhruddin, who we all know as Gorikala in our family, and Aunty Rashida, who's still alive. She's our Chatikala. So. Sayyid Fakhruddin, my great-granddad, was born in Gujarat in 1854. So in 1870, at just age 16, he was sent by his parents from Gujarat to South Africa by ship to seek employment in South Africa, which was a British colony at the time. So upon his arrival, he was taken to Johannesburg to seek employment. He found employment in Joburg, and he worked as a laborer doing some manual tasks. Life was difficult there, as you can imagine, and he resided in a household which required him to do his own work, his own cooking, and after that, after a little while, he decided to come down to Durban. And when he came to Durban, he sought employment again, and he found some work, and he continued to work hard until he acquired enough money to set up a business. And this resulted in him opening up a shop. So I'm going to refer to him as Bawa, because in our family, we refer to him fondly as Bawa. So this resulted in Bawa opening a shop. And at this point, his brother, Sayyid Muhammad, was sent down to South Africa. And together they worked hard and the business flourished. At this point, Hazrat Sufi Sayyid, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to also come to have tea at the shop. After many years of hard work in the shop, he managed to build, subhanAllah, at the time of recession, three buildings. One is based in Cross Street, which is a Sayyid Fakhruddin building. He built that in 1937. And two in Prince Edward Street, Sayyid Mansion in 1938 and Zaire caught in 1940 over the years. The young Muslims at the time felt that there was a need for a children's home where shelter and care could be provided for Muslim orphans, the homeless and destitute. So at that time, Mr. Ian Parag offered the free use of a wood and iron cottage in Inanda Road in Sikaole. And from this initial move was brought into reality. So then the first Muslim orphanage, translated in Arabic into Darul Yatama wal Masakin, was officially opened in 1934 with Sayyid Fakhruddin serving on the committee as the treasurer. So this is way back. Alhamdulillah, we can say that after coming to South Africa from India age 16 with nothing but the clothes on his back, he ensured that his family was well taken care of. So alhamdulillah, his children and his great-grandchildren enjoyed a good life in the family home. They reminisce about experiences with a firm but a loving man who always maintained with humility that humility, modesty and respect were of utmost importance. To his friends, the poor and the travelers that he met at Braceed Masjid, and to those he showed hospitality to, he will always be remembered for his kindness. And also, he had an excellent relationship with the Sufi Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who arrived in Durban in 1895. So when Sufi Sahib arrived in 1895, Sayyid Fakhruddin, who was 31 at the time, was present to witness the laying of the foundation of the masjid at Riverside. He was a murid of Hazrat Sufi Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, and was also an advisor to Sufi Sahib. In my conversations with Marhum Muhammad Saeed Sufi and most recently Abdul Aziz Sufi, they have maintained that the relationship between the two families has always been strong. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the muhabbat between the two families. Alhamdulillah, in 1988, your good friend, Hafiz Sayyid Ismail Fakhruddin, he performed the Taraweeh Salah at the Sufi Masjid in Riverside. Alhamdulillah, he had a good family. In 1906, at age 52, Bawa got married and he had four children, Sayyid Hussain, Nur Jahan, Maryam and Sayroon. In 1919, at the age of 66, Brother Shafaq, he married, after his first wife passed away, he married Aisha Balan, and he had nine children at the age of 66, from 66 onward. So he was the co-founder of Darul Yatam al-Masakin. In 1934, the organization was founded by late Maulana Ahmad Mukhtar Siddiqui and other individuals, including our late A.I. Kaji, C.M. Angalia, Tayyub Sakur, M.S. Karwa, Ismail Osman, E.M. Parak, and A.K.A. Bucks. So, as you can see, the research has gone into it, and all I can just conclude on that point is that Bawa made parda from the dunya after living a life that spanned 120 years. He made parda from the dunya in 1966. And he was actually the foundation of our family. His cover is situated in Brook Street, in the Fakhruddin graveside. And today, more than 50 years after his passing on, we still celebrate him. And we respect, and you know, to us in the family, alhamdulillah, he set a fantastic foundation. And that is the history of Bawa. Is it okay if I move on to my?
A little bit on Bawa. You know, we just can't let that move on because you know, being such a pioneer, a level-headed young man who worked, and alhamdulillah, you could see the fruits of his success. He has a refined family, a family that is dini conscious, and Ismail Hafiz, Ismail Fakhruddin, you look at him, mashallah. Also, he was Imam of the Masjid, Masjid too. And looking at yourself, being a Hafiz al-Quran, being an educator. And, you know, Bawa, as you said, Bawa laid the foundation of being an hospitable human being. And that hospitality of entertaining people or the wayfarers still runs in the blood of the Fakhruddin family, Ahmadi.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, in my conversation with Sayyid Saab's son, Rafiq, last night, he said that Bawa had actually set the foundation, which he still continued up to today, where he told me in one instance that he used to go to Gracie Masjid and always bring someone home to eat. So once, for 3 days, he did not bring a guest home. And he cried and made dua to Allah that, Ya Allah, for 3 days you've always given me the opportunity to bring somebody home. For 3 days, I have not brought somebody home. Ya Allah, please put someone in my path. You know, the generation of old, they had such love for feeding those, for the guests, for the travelers, you know, that when this happened, they actually felt heartsore about it. Go ahead, Shafat.
No, that exactly what I used to do as a young man is go to the harbor, bring the people home. And someone used to tell me, look at my mom too, she was so open-hearted. And I think that's where both our families, I resonated so well as we move on to Saitsab, that I resonated so well with the family that when we had formed the Muslim Seamen's Institute, it was obvious that we had to link up with a family that set the foundation long before I was born, but with getting involved with the family, with the Ismail Fakhruddin and with Saeed Saab and all, we resonated well. And alhamdulillah, Allah inshallah, will reward us for the effort that we put on, Ahmadi.
Ji, inshallah. Brother Shafat, the next personality is Saeed Ibrahim Fakhruddin, aka also known very well as Saeed Saab. And I'm just going to move on. This just to start off there, that he had also gone with his brother. He had studied at Sastry College, and he attained very good marks. He was on the debating team. And because of his high academic level, he was also sent to Cape Town with his brother, who had become a doctor. And in his first year, his dad had actually called him back to say that, you know what, listen, there's one brother becoming a doctor. You come and we need you in the business. The business is flourishing. We need you. And so he came over. In 1966, when he was on Hajj, Saeed Saab went for Hajj. And whilst he was in Hajj, on the 12th of March, 1966, his father passed away. So when Saeed Saab returned from Hajj, he met Baipadia. And when he met Baipadia, he was introduced to the work of Tabligh and Dawah. It was at this point that Baipadia suggested that Saeed Saab's eldest son, Sayyid Rafiq, he suggested that he take over the business so that Sayyid Saab could be relieved and be doing the Jamaat work in a full-time basis, the work of Dawah. And one notable luminary to mention was also involved at the time, was Haji Ahmad Desai. So in the early years of Dawah work, now we're talking in the mid-60s, there was no markaz. You know, before we had Claywood, and now we have Bilal. So there wasn't anything available. So Sayyid Saab offered his business and his home to be used as a base to welcome and accommodate local Jamaat. And it was during this time also that Mashura was done in one of these meetings in an office on 66 Prince Edward Street to actually start off the Madrasa Talimuddin, which is in Ispingo today. And it must be said and noted that Sayyid Saab kept contact with a lot of alims. And with all these alims, he maintained an excellent rapport. And alhamdulillah, it continued. And he had friendships with, you know, some of our great luminaries of the past, like Maulana Umarji and all the others. Also worth mentioning was that the Mashura of Al-Madina, which I mentioned, he also had many senior ulama from overseas visiting him. And one of the first visits was to Sayyid Saab. We are talking about Maulana Aswan, the Yar Rahim, Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hassan, Hakim Akhtar Saab, also Mala Yunus Patel, Mala Abdul Hamid of Azadville, they always used to come through. And he had traveled extensively to many parts of the world. And alhamdulillah, Sayyid Saab was warmly received. It's good to note that at one point when they were in New York, they couldn't find a masjid in New York. And they ended up reading Salah in the United Nations headquarters, right? And alhamdulillah, whenever he was in the harams of Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah to Munawwara, many local Arab brothers used to sit around him, listening to his advices And some of them up to this day are still in contact with the family and they reminisce about him. In Australia in the year 2002, he was with his son, Hafiz Zain Fakhruddin, and the Aqui from Durban, and there was the Aslam Vaid of Vaid Pharmacy, and the attorney Imran Bobat. Wherever they went, the South Africans came in large numbers in the Misaji to visit him. When we're talking about the humanitarian work, he said, and this was his nasiha to his family, he said, never stop feeding the poor, because this is where the barakah lies in your life. That's what those were his words, his nasiha. Never stop feeding the poor. This is where the barakah lies. And up to this day, on a Friday after lunch, the poor are invited upstairs. There's one room, called, we call it the bari room, because it's like the big room. So the table is set, and those who wish to have an afternoon lunch meal are welcome. You come, you sit down, you have your meal. So I think this was actually continued in the tradition of Baba, who used to bring the travelers and come home. So he passed away, Brother Shafat, in 2012, in October. And he was aged 87, Islamic age 90. And, I think the whole town, the whole city had come to a standstill, you know, because he was so well known, him and his grandfather and most of the family. If you remember back in the days, we never used to take the car and go to Masjid, you know?
Yeah, it's a walk.
Short distance away. We used to walk from Prince Edward Street to Grey Street Mosque, which are our local Masjid. You take a walk, and back in the day, everyone knew everybody. So you'd interact with a lot of people along the way, you know?
I was quite close to him because when I was Adidas editor in 89-90, I used to take the train from home, go right to the masjid, and I used to make it for Ishraq. And there were only two people in the mosque at that time. I was a young man making zikr and reading the Ishraq Salah. And he used to always come and tell me, okay, you know, you better come home and have some tea. But, you know, I was so committed to my work. I said, no, I want to get to the office as early as possible. And then also recall, before his demise, he used to come to the mosque with his, for Jummah, it was always the Jummah Masjid, with his walking stick. And he had this ritual of putting his walking stick right in the front. And, he wanted the front stuff. So he's always looked, where's the Shafat guy? He's by me. And I know I had to make way for him. So, alhamdulillah, Ahmadi, we have about six minutes to go. So, inshallah, we could move on to the late Dr. Sayyid Abdullah Qadir Fakhruddin.
Before we leave, Sayyid Saab, I think just to mention on that point, one of his salient features was that he was, whoever he met, he knew how to make them feel special. He made you feel like you were his man, you know? He had that warmth about him, if you remember. You know, so this is one to mention. And alhamdulillah, and he was also blessed after that. He went for his first Hajj 66. And after that, Allah kept on taking him back to Makkah and Medina. And he made more than 100 trips. So alhamdulillah, shukran. Okay, Brother Shafat, we'll just move on to Dr. Fakhruddin, Dr. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Fakhruddin. Having had a conversation, you know, I needed some information, so... last night I had done a quick call to his daughter, who's Dr. Sarah Fakhruddin. She just gave me some information. She says, and on Dr. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Fakhruddin, he was qualified in Cape Town in 1954. And when he started in Durban, there was only one. It was the first Indian GP in Durban, and that was Dr. K.M. Siddharth. So he did his internship. Or he did his training under Dr. K.M. Siddharth. He was also a doctor for the Darul Yatama, where he offered free services. And he did free circumcision for the As-Salam Foundation. Dr. Fakhruddin was based at the St. Aidan's, where he served in the gynecology ward. And I can tell you that he also delivered me myself. You know, I'm Dr. Fakhruddin delivered.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So... also, he was a ringside doctor. Back in the day, you know, there was wrestling that used to happen. We used to have the Tiger Singh and all these wrestling
in South Africa. And Gama Singh.
Gama Singh, correct. Dr. Fakhruddin was actually a ringside doctor. You know, a lot of the new generation do not know the fun activities that used to happen in Durban and South Africa. But one of them was wrestling. He started his surgery in the 1960s. And to mention a few doctors, there was a Dr. Acha, there was a Dr. Mayad, and a Dr. Motala, who were the few doctors around. So he was in that group of doctors. He passed away in 1987, and he was actually known as the friend of the battler because he assisted a lot of people who didn't have the financial means for medical services. You know, they had the flu or something. A doctor used to just give them a jab and say, you know what, alhamdulillah, shukr, just make dua for me. So his daughter, Dr. Sara, had taken over in 1988. And the surgery was based in Cross Street. Yes. So that's what I have for you, Brother Shafat. There's a lot of information that I just had to go through, but
I can tell you, Ahmadi, you know, you brought in the history of these great personalities from your family tree, but you did a mashallah job because, you know, today when it comes to the attention span of people, you know, maybe 15 minutes and you are beyond 15 minutes, people lose interest because of this WhatsApp and you get the Instagram and all that. It's making man get impatient, but the way you delivered it, well, that's brilliant. I could see everything graphically, starting up from your grandfather and say Fakhruddin getting to the doctor, Fakhruddin. And inshallah, you know, you as a narrator, as a storyteller, you are an asset to the family. As a Hafiz of Quran, you are an asset to the family. And perhaps, Ahmadi, looking at your parting words this morning.
Gee, you know, what I'd like to say is that, you know, in terms of our family history, you know, all our families, we have such great history. You know, if you're talking about, you know, when you talk about your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, for the future generations, whatever I'm saying is oral tradition. Sometimes it's good to make a note of it in writing, especially for the future generation. But, you know, we're talking about the WhatsApp generations and everything, because, you know, I'm just thinking about my son, my son's son, they won't know about all this. So, alhamdulillah, we need to know where we come from, and we need to hold on to our history. So I think from this, I am actually inspired. You know, I've spoken about it, but to actually write a book to put all this in black and white. And where you get this, and I'm really good at it, is speaking to people and getting the information out. You know, you kind of get stuff that is personal to you, and then you put that in. I mean, all this that I spoke about, it's all in conversation with different people. And it's actually fascinating, you know, it's fascinating. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all our families safe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability, gives us the strength to make it through this difficult time. I make special dua for you and the fantastic work you are doing on the Friday, Mufti Sahab are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you good health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect your family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you lots and lots of barakah in your life. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our du'as are reciprocal, Ahmadi Fakhruddin. Absolutely fascinating history of the Fakhruddin family. And alhamdulillah, as Ahmadi says, we should all be documenting our roots, our family members. We've got a story to tell people. And alhamdulillah, how would the younger generation of that family tree know what the elders did if we don't keep that alive? Jazakallah khair once again to Hafiz Ahmadi Fakhruddin for giving us the story so vividly.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.